Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. This is the reading of God's Word. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who know his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word that our faith will grow, that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us, and through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, pour out your blessings that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear it, understand it, and obey it. Oh Father, we ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me remind you that in Luke chapter 12, our Lord Jesus Christ is showing and teaching us the true pictures of the citizens of the kingdom of God. If you remember, the citizens of the kingdom of God, first, they are not hypocrites. And they are not afraid of this world and the people of this world. And they confess Jesus Christ to everyone. And they forsake every form of greed. They do not store up treasures for themselves, and they are rich toward God. They are the citizens of heaven. Now, when you come to these verses that shows how the citizens of heaven truly are, and you compare that with how you are, and if there's differences, then you must change. It's not okay to just ignore what God is teaching to you. Well, our Lord continues to teach. Today's passage, again, Jesus, He's telling us what kind of life do the citizens of heaven live in this world. Well, to tell you the conclusion first, they live their lives seeking the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how true Christians live. They eagerly wait for their Lord's return. They live their lives in terms of preparing for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. They live according to that day, the reality of that day. They live according to their heavenly reality. So as we have seen many times, the kingdom of God is accomplished in two stages. It is accomplished spiritually in the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be visibly consummated in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How then, His church, you, who live their lives in between His first coming and the second coming, must live? Bible says they must live their lives eagerly waiting for Jesus' second coming, and they must live their lives according to the reality of His second coming. Luke chapter 12, verse 36. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up, will himself to serve and have them, Verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. Well, God commands you, be like slaves who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast. Always preparing for master's return. At that time, the wedding feast could go on for days or even more than a week. Thus, the slaves do not know when the master will return. Verse 38, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third. In today's language, the master might come in between 10 p.m. all the way to 6 a.m. Meaning, he might come when everybody will be asleep. Verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Those who are awake. What does it mean to be awake? Well, Bible tells us what that means. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and verse 3. I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. According to these verses and many more in the Bible, those who are awake are the ones who are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Then what does it mean by sleeping? Well, they are the ones who live their lives without the hope of heaven. Well, non-believers. Because believers, they do have hope of heaven, and that's their focus. Those who have no interest in Jesus' return, those who live as if there is no second coming of our Lord Jesus, according to the Bible, they are sleeping. And they are dead. Are you awake, everyone? Or you live just like dead people, that you have no interest in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the ones who are awake. We live our lives having our eyes focused on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live with the hope of heaven, and we live according to the reality of heaven. All the things that we do in our lives, if we do not do them flowing out of our hope in heaven and faith in heaven, then they are the same things as the acts of non-Christians. They are the dead works. To ignore, to pay no attention to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's like being dead, just constantly sleeping. Is that how we live? When do you last thought about Jesus' second coming? God telling you to wake up. Because you cannot be asleep when he returns. They'll be very, very sad. It is so amazing. Even churches, they never preach about second coming. The church itself is dead, sleeping. Because their focus is not about his return. Luke chapter 12, verse 35, dress in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Or, I like New King James Version, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Let your waist be girded. You know, back then, even guys, they wore dresses. So if they had to do some active work, they have to gird their waist. So God says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. This reminds us of the Old Testament. Exodus 12, verse 11. Let me read to you. Now you shall eat in it this matter. With your loins girded, waist girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Exodus 12. It was the Lord's Passover. During the night of the Passover, as they come out of Egypt, the Israelites were commanded to eat in haste with their loins girded. That's the picture. God says that you should gird your waist. What is God saying? Just like the Israelites at that first Passover night, we must, as we are being saved from this world and sin, we must be always be ready to go out. Be ready to receive our Lord in His return so that we could go with Him to heaven. Are you ready to go out of this world? Is that how you live? Always be ready to go out. This is how Christians live according to the Bible. I mean, obviously, according to this world, this is so ridiculous. First of all, they don't believe that God is coming back. And there's so many important things that you should be doing, not just being ready to get out. But this is how Christians live according to the Bible. When Jesus comes back today, are you ready to go? Is that how you live? Always being ready to go. Jesus says, let your waist be girded. Just exact words that He commanded the Israelites to do on that night, the Passover night. First Peter chapter 1 verse 13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how we must live. Focus on the reality that will be revealed when Jesus returns. And He says, keep your lamps lit. Again, it points to being ready, always being ready. Lamps, they shine in the darkness so that we could see. Obviously, when it's not lit, it is dark. Then we cannot do anything. We cannot move. It says, let your lamps lit. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, speaking of the Word of God. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in the dark place. You see, the Word of God is the lamp. Jesus is the lamp. Psalm 119 verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. So we must have that lamp always lit, always ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the truth. So we put all this thing together as we eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must stand firm in the faith and always have the Word of God lit in our hearts. And why must we be on alert? Why must we be always awake? Because the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely certain, but when will He come? It's not, we don't know. This is why you have to be awake, always. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 and 33, but of that day or hour no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. You know, time to time, especially in Korean society, And some people in the church will come out and say, I know the time. I know when he's coming back. Jesus says even he doesn't know. Obviously, he's talking about his humanity. In his divinity, he knows. Just like him saying, I'm hungry. God never gets hungry, but in his humanity, he does get hungry. So that's what he's saying. I don't know. Just like he's saying, I'm hungry. You understand what he's saying? And if nobody knows, Bible clearly says nobody knows, then how can that guy know and tell you when Jesus is returning? And they're so dumb, so many dumb people in the church, they follow these kind of people. Bible is very, very clear. Nobody knows. Yeah, let's move on. We must keep on the alert. And Luke chapter 12, verse 37b, blessed are those slaves. The master will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. These verses, they point to the reality of the banquet of heaven. Jesus will serve and wait on us. The glorious blessings upon those who are faithful. Luke chapter 12, verse 39 and 40, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. These verses are not saying that Jesus Christ is the thief, but his coming, his second coming, will be just like the coming of the thief when you do not know when he is coming. It will be an hour that you do not expect. Luke 17, verse 27, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Jesus said already that his day will be just like day of Noah's flood. Until Noah entered that ark, they were just doing whatever they were doing, as if the judgment is never coming, as if God is never coming. He will come when no one is expecting. But if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. If we are always waiting for the Lord's return, if you are always awake and waiting for him, he will not come to us like the thief in the night. But he will come like a thief to the whole world who do not expect him. Let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 6. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with a child. And they will not escape. But you, brethren, you are not in the darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. You are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. God actually says that Jesus will not come like a thief to Christians because we will be waiting for him. That we will have our focus on his return all the time. We move on, chapter 12, verse 41. But Peter Lord, Peter said, the Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and began to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Now, two people are being compared. The faithful steward and the unfaithful slave are being contrasted. The faithful steward does all the tasks that was given to him by the master. And master sees that he does all that when he comes back. Jesus says, that slave is blessed. Our Lord Jesus Christ also gave us many tasks until his coming back. We need to do the works of God that he gave us to do. What are they, the works of God? John chapter 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. We are to believe in Jesus Christ and participate in his work of furthering his kingdom. Then Jesus says in verse 44b, the master will put him in charge of all his possession. God gives him the kingdom of God, heaven itself. This is our present spiritual reality. He already gave us all of his possession. But how about the unfaithful slave? Verse 45. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and he begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and eat and drink and get drunk. This guy says, my master will be a long time in coming. Is that how you think? So he didn't come last 2,000 years, so I don't expect him to come very soon. Is that what you think? See, this is the mind of this sinful world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Forever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Where is he coming? When is he coming, they will say. You believe he's coming, right? So when is he coming? Every day. It just repeats. Ever since my fathers, long, long ago, every day, sun comes up and sun goes down, so when is he coming? But Bible says people who say like this, they want to forget something the Bible tells them. It was not every single day it repeated and some came up and some went down. It did not happen like that. They forgot the Noah's flood. When Noah's flood came, the whole earth destroyed. But see, they forgot about that. So they keep saying, every day is same. No, it wasn't. Just like those people who got destroyed during the Noah's flood, they do the same. The
The destruction came and it will come. Jesus will come back.
Now, this unfaithful slave has the heart of this unbelieving world. And not only he's unfaithful, not only not do what Jesus or the Master commanded him to do, but he does the exact opposite. And our verse says, verse 46, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. And when master comes, it says, master will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with unbelievers, meaning hell. The phrase cut him in pieces, literally, it means cut in two. Now, we saw this cutting of animal in two during the ratification of God's covenant with Abraham. And we learned then that cutting an animal into two pieces is the picture of God's judgment. That's what our passage is saying, that he will receive the judgment of God. And he will be assigned a place with the unbelievers. He will receive the judgment that the unbelievers will receive. Matthew chapter 25 verse 30 says it this way, throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It seems both faithful steward and the unfaithful slave had the task of taking care of other slaves. Thus, many people believe that this passage is telling what would happen to the leaders of the church. But if you understand the whole Bible, all of us are given the task of the kingdom of God. So these two people, they represent all the people, not just leaders of the church, but all of us. And our passage ends with verse 47 and 48. And that slave who knew his master's will. I mean, every Christian knows God's will because we have the Bible. That slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in according to his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. Now Jesus reminds us here of the principle that God has been teaching from the Old Testament. The degree of punishment between knowingly sinning and unintentionally sinning is different. Numbers 15 verse 29 and 30. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally. For him who is naive among the sons of Israel, and for the alien who sojourn among them. But the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people. So sinning unintentionally and sinning defiantly, the punishments are different. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in according to his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. Now, what is important to us is that they both receive the judgment of God. Then why is Jesus telling this to us? Well, Jesus is using that principle to warn us, warning you and me. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. God does require more from whom has been given much. Yes, the leaders are required more, but looking at this redemptive historically, we could say that the people in the New Testament are given much more and entrusted much more than the people of the Old Testament. So we, who are living in the New Testament, are more responsible for our actions. Thus, we must do our best, put genuine effort to obey God and to do His will. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, how about us? Are you awake? We know our Master's will because we read the Bible, we say we understand it, we believe it. We know our Master's will, but we do not get ready or act in accord with His will. And we often commit sins without knowing. Yes, you and I, we truly deserve God's eternal punishment. Yes, we must receive many lashes. We deserve to be cut in two. But the gospel tells us the good news. Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, died on the cross, bearing our sins. He died for us and instead of us, and Jesus Himself was sinless. Jesus knew the will of the Father, and He was always ready to do His will, and He always acted in accord with the Father's will, but because He was wearing our sins, He received many lashes. He was flogged before His death on the cross, and His body was torn on the cross. He was assigned to a place with the unbelievers. He received the eternal punishment of hell that we deserve. And He paid for all of our sins by dying on the cross. And He was resurrected from the dead. And because He has obeyed the will of the Father perfectly, the Father gave Him the kingdom of God and put Him in charge of all the Father's possession. In Luke chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus says, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you the same kingdom. Now in Jesus Christ, God receives us as the one who have obeyed His will perfectly. And in Christ, we are also given the kingdom of God. And in Christ, God gave us all of His possessions. We have God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. We were administered the Lord's Supper last Lord's Day. And when you see the table of the Lord and the elements of that table, we see that His body was torn, cut. And his blood was poured out for our sins. But also, verse 37, truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. During the Lord's Supper, who is seated at the table? All of you. And who is serving and waiting on you? Jesus Christ. That was what was witnessed as we participated in the Lord's Supper. That verse was witnessed as our present reality in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is what the gospel is all about. You deserve to be cut in two forever. And yet Jesus was cut because of your sins, because you are not awake, not living according to his will. Understand what Jesus has done for you. What kind of judgment that he received in your place. So if you understand all this, then don't you think that you need to at least do a little bit to do his will? And his will for you is that you wake up, eagerly waiting for our Lord's return. Our eternal reality is that we will be sit at the table of our God and eat and drink with him. And then Jesus, he will not even call us his slave anymore. John 15:15, no longer do I call you slaves. For the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And he did. He gave us the Bible. If you're diligent studying the Bible, you will know all of his will. Because he revealed it to you. It's a matter of love. Let me explain it in the way that all of us will understand. The old people like me, we kind of forgot how love was. But if we could go back to the beginning, when we started falling in love and when we really love, you know, one another, when we got married. But you young people, that's where you are, so you might understand me better. When you love someone, and that person is away, you will wait for that person eagerly. Because you miss that person. I don't have to, like, force you to wait for that person. You will do that on your own. Can you imagine you will not be able to see your loved one for many years? And every night you will remember that person and you will ask yourself, when is he or when is she coming back? Because you love that person. You long for that day when you will be able to see that person's face. My question to you and to me is this. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you miss him?
Do you long to see him face to face? Or every single day, 24 hours, you don't even miss him at all. You don't even think about him, let alone his coming back. Then I ask you, do you love him? And if you do love him, then how could it be like that? You ask yourself, how could it be like that if you really love him? Something is really wrong. God tells you to wake up. Wake up and long for that day when you will see him face to face. This is what Christian life is all about. I don't care what you accomplish out there. I don't care what kind of job you have or how much money you make or whatever. The world says, whoa, that guy is worthy. Christians, all those things really doesn't matter. And Bible describes our lives in terms of waiting for our husband, our eternal husband, loving him and waiting for his return. Understand what Bible is telling you. Bible is not telling you to accomplish many things out there in the world. That's the world telling you that if you do that, somehow your life is valuable. Only reason that our lives are valuable is because of Jesus Christ. And our life is described in terms of our relationship with him. That's it. God will still love you, even if the world thinks that your life is worthless. He will come and take you home. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, where will I find faith when I come back? If Jesus comes back today, will he find faith in our church? I pray that he will. That he will find that faith in our church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done, what you have accomplished for us. You command us to gird our waist and lit the lamp. Meaning that we'll always be ready to go home when that time comes. Oh Father, this is the most pathetic life that world will see. But it is the most precious life for us, waiting for our husband to take us home. And let us do everything in according to that reality, in terms of preparing ourselves for his return. So that when he comes, we will not be sleeping, but completely awake, ready to receive him and to go our eternal home forever and ever. We know that this does not mean that we are called to be lazy in this world. But no matter what we do them in preparation for His second coming. We thank You. We love You, God. Come quickly, Lord. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.